Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come to your house once more. We thank you for allowing us all to arrive safely, watching over us through this storm that passed our way. Lord, you kept us, and we're grateful. Certainly could have been much worse, Lord, here for us. And Father, those that are embracing the brunt of the storm, we ask that you watch over them and protect them and that you would keep them. And Father, we just trust that you bless our gathering here tonight. Bless every heart that has come, those that may still be on the way, give them traveling mercies. Those that are not able to make it, Father, we ask that you look upon them as well. And trust that you would open up our hearts to receive from you as you feed us your word. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We will go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll just start reading here at verse 11. And we will continue from where we were on last week. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And again, as we just focused on the stature of a perfect man tonight and just what that is all about, I want to just read from 2 Peter chapter 1, just to kind of bring some highlight to where we're, what we're focusing on. As we stated earlier, when we claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost should be producing certain things. Brother Branham told us that you say you have the Holy Ghost, and I say I have the Holy Ghost. It's not going to act one way in me and a different way in the next person. It doesn't do that. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. So, you know, if it's going to make me dress right and act right, it's going to make you dress right and act right. Right? If that's what it did in the Bible days, that's what it's going to do today. It's the same spirit. It does not change. It's the same spirit. So, it's unfortunate that we live in a time where people truly don't have an experience with God. We claim it, but if we had it, it would produce certain characteristics in our lives. And it's one thing to be touched by the Holy Ghost. It's another thing to have the Holy Ghost. All right. And we don't want to just be touched by the Spirit. Y'all heard people say, I caught the Spirit. Well, why you let it go? See, we don't want that to happen. When we want the Spirit to abide, you know, within our hearts. You know, I mean, it's got to stay there. And so we want to try to teach this just right. When the Holy Ghost is there, it should produce these characteristics. What we see here in the stature of a perfect man, that's what we should be striving towards constantly. Here, 2 Peter chapter 1, it says this, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And virtue is power for service. We found that out, strength, power for service. And to virtue, knowledge. This is godly knowledge, not just knowledge of the world or from going to school, but this is godly knowledge, knowledge of the Word of God. To knowledge, temperance. We found out that is not somebody just being able to control how much they drink. That's not what this is all about, but this is to control your tongue and how much we talk. All right. Says temperance, and to temperance, patience. We found out last week we had to learn to wait on God. Amen. Like many others that have gone on before us, they waited and their faith got stronger as they waited for the Lord. Temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, which we'll deal with that tonight. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, see, that's what we're talking about, abiding. If it be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Let's go on here to a couple of quotes. We'll go back to Stature of a Perfect Man. As we looked at patience last week, you know, Brother Branham brought in so many different examples. I believe he brought in Abraham and how he was patient, the Hebrew boys, and they were patient. Moses was patient. Paul was patient. We read all the things that Paul went through, shipwrecked so many times, and, you know, beaten many times. You know, Paul went through a lot. And church, it's unfortunate. We go through very little, and how we complain to God. But when you look in the scripture and see what other folk went through, we don't have much to complain about. Amen. All we need to say is God has been good to us. Amen. We'd be ready to quit because we can't get a bill paid. I'm talking about being beat 39 stripes four or five times. You know, there's many things that people went through for the cause of Christ. So, church, we got to be able to take a little bit more than what we are taking. Amen. But we got to learn to be patient. If God, every time we prayed, instantly gave us what we were asking for, we would never learn patience. Never. See? So in order to teach us patience, you got to pray and commit it in God's hands and just leave it alone. Amen. After you pray about it, you got to keep worrying God about it. You don't ask him for it. God ain't hard of hearing. You ask him one time. He heard you the first time. It's just like Daniel. Daniel prayed the first time. It took 21 days for that prayer to get answered. But just stay there and just wait. Be patient. Wait, Daniel. Some of us might have to wait 21 days, some 21 years, some 21 minutes, some 21 seconds. We don't know how long we got to wait. But just wait on the Lord. Amen. We learn to be patient. And this is the patience that we're talking about here in the chart right behind me. Stature of a Perfect Man. Let's start here at paragraph 43.1-1. On that, and I'm just kind of coming out of patience. Brother Branham made the comment here. I think the final statement that we made last week about Brother Branham said we got to be patient with God, but he also said we got to be patient with one another. And he says being patient with one another is, you know, you just can't fly off the handle every time something go wrong, you know, but you got to be able to just be patient with your brother and sister. You say, when we're exercising that, say that causes us to go into prayer. When we go in prayer, we start praying. Maybe somebody did do us wrong. We know it was wrong. You know, it was, I mean, absolutely wrong. But as you begin to pray and you really get into an atmosphere with God, say, God will begin to show you things about that person and why they did what they did. And says you begin to feel so sorry for the person, you know, that you'll come back out, you know, just asking God to forgive them, you know, and forgive you for even feeling that way about them. God just changed your heart in the midst of it. And he says, you never know, our attitude towards a person can determine their destination. Our attitude towards that person can determine their eternal destination. So we got to, when we talk about being patient with one another, we really, really, really got to watch it in that area. Amen. Our attitude towards a person can determine their eternal destination. All right. Let's finish this off here. It says, all right, all right. Add this to your faith, always putting him before you. Remembering it was he that promised, wasn't me promised, wasn't the pastor promised, our brother Neville. It wasn't some other minister promise. It wasn't some priest or pope. It wasn't no man of the earth. It was God made the promise. Now, I'm going to just slip this in because I like to do this. Notice Brother Branham called Brother Neville his pastor. All right. Just notice that. I mean, here Brother Neville was at church pastoring the people, and Brother Branham called him our pastor. And we have a lot of folk that don't see it that way no more. You know, he was a living pastor. Right there at the church. Amen. All right, now, you got to watch the spirit. Spirits are all over the place, but look at what the prophet said. Brother Neville, our pastor. All right. It wasn't some other minister promise. It wasn't some priest or pope. Wasn't no man of the earth. It was God made the promise, and God's able to keep everything he promised. All right, if you've got that kind of faith to know that God promised it, say, Brother Branham, I'm sick. I need healing awful bad. Accept it. It's a gift given to you. Yes, sir, if thou canst believe, well, you say, I do believe. Well, if you believe, then forget it. That's what he said. I do believe, then forget it. That's all. It's all over. See, have patience. And that's exactly what we need. Come to a spot where once we've asked God for it, believe we receive when we pray, and have patience just to wait for that promise to be made manifest in our lives. It's all over. See, have patience. If you got patience. If you're not, you're crumbling off this building here. See, it'll knock all the rest of it down. That one thing, you got to have that. Don't add it because it'll wreck your building. If you haven't got patience, if you haven't got virtue to add to your faith that you say you've got, and if you haven't got any faith, try to put virtue on it, it'll break your faith down. So you say, well, now, wait a minute. Maybe this is all a mistake anyhow. Maybe God isn't God. Maybe there is no God. See, it'll break the thing right into. When you start thinking like that, you start reasoning, then you're really not having faith. Amen. There was a saying, if you're going to worry, don't pray. But if you're going to pray, don't worry. Amen. All right, let's go on. Here at paragraph 43.4, we're moving on. Says, but if you've got genuine faith, then put genuine virtue to it, then genuine knowledge, then genuine temperance, then genuine patience. See, you're moving right on up the line. All right. Fifthly, add godliness. Oh, my, godliness to be added. What does godliness mean? I looked in 4 or 5 dictionaries and couldn't even find what it meant. Finally, I was down at Brother Jeffrey's there. We found it in the dictionary. Godliness means to be like God. Oh my, after you got faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, then be like God. You say, I can't do that, Brother Branham. Oh, yes, you can. Now, I like this because, you know, some of us try to, Brother, I'll never do this. Oh, yes, you're going to do it. If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to meet these qualifications. Amen. I can't do that, Brother Branham. Oh, yes, you can. Let me just read you a few scriptures here just a minute. Matthew 5:48. We'll take this one and see what it sounds like. Matthew 5:48, and see if you're supposed to be like God. You know the Bible says ye are gods. Jesus said so. Why? All the virtue, all the things that's in God, that's in God is in you. Matthew 5:48. Be ye, Jesus speaking in the Beatitudes. Be ye therefore, P-E-R-F-E-C-T. What's that? Perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect, you got way up here now before you have to do that. All these things has to be added first. Then when you get up here, he's asked you now to be perfect. Godliness, Sons and daughters of God, that's right. How many things I could say along that line? Let's read Matthew 5 as we just kind of talk about this. I want to start at verse 38, amen, in Matthew 5. We're asked to be perfect, like God. Amen, like God. Now, brother, can't nobody be perfect. All right, we'll find out tonight. But you know what? In some instances of life, you really do have to be perfect. And I'll just share one of them with you that just comes to mind. When you go to the internet and you're looking for a website, you have to be perfect. You can't have one letter off, one dash off, one period off. It has to be perfect. See, so if you can be perfect on the internet, huh? You can be perfect in Christ. It's just the way that you're looking at it. Right? I mean, when they offer God a sacrifice in the Old Testament, they couldn't offer God anything. That sacrifice had to be a perfect sacrifice without blemish. Guess what? We're going to have to live perfect lives without blemish before God.
Amen.
Amen. We're called to it, church. All right, let's look at it. Matthew 5:38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, these are tough scriptures, because that's not the nature of people nowadays. If somebody smites you, you rile up and hit them back. That's the nature of people nowadays. But this is telling us, if they smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and for him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you. Now, that's a hard thing to do. Do good to somebody that actually hates you, but this is what Jesus has asked us to do. Do good to them that hate you. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. I mean, you know, can you imagine being good to somebody that actually hate you? Imagine it, church. See, this is not our nature nowadays. Oh, they don't like me, I don't like them either. I ain't putting up with that. No, that's not what Jesus said. We're not being Christians when we're acting like that. It's the truth anyhow. You know, we're not being full Christians when we're acting like that. That's why it's so good for us to go back over this, because we realize, Lord, I'm falling short right there. I need to come back to the altar and pray. Help me, God. But Jesus said this. This is what, when we talk about being perfect or being like God, godliness, these are the things that are required of us. Amen. Hallelujah. And you need people in your life that will sow these things in you. Now, brother, you know that ain't godliness. Sister, you know that ain't temperance. Sister, that's not temperance. Not nobody's going to, well, that's right. Hey, they did it. I would do the same thing that you do. You don't need nobody like that in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all need folk to tell us when we're wrong. Amen. And we all get wrong sometimes. Amen. It's the truth anyhow. Glory to God. I know people get mad because I ain't coming back. That's why I ain't talking to you in the first place. Let them just settle down. They'll be back. Because you got something that they don't have. You got some wisdom that they need. They'll be back. Just let them settle down. They're coming back. See. But church, we need this. We need this. Amen. We're trying to be like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I'm talking about being like Jesus. You can't just be, some people try to be like Brother Branham. We're trying to be like Jesus.
Amen.
And Brother Branham was wrong too. Y'all know the prophet lied one time? Not just once that he told us. He lied. He lied. And told his wife to lie. I mean, you know, that man called the house and he ran outside the house and tell him I'm not in the house. She just said, now, you know you was just in here. How you going to have me tell this man? tell him I'm not in the house. And he just, you know, and she just went back crying, telling the man, well, he's not in here. Well, now, at the time, he wasn't in the house, but he lied. He knew he was in the house when the man called. See? So he lied and went to go pray for a little baby. God said, how are you going to pray for a baby? You just lied. He wouldn't listen to his wife, but the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. Amen. Amen. He couldn't pray for that baby. Had to go to that man's office and apologize and make that thing right before he could go and pray for that baby. Amen, church. That's Christianity. Oh, my. Y'all, how about them pecans? Told the man, hey, he didn't have no pecans. That was a lie. I ain't got no pecans in my car at the border, crossing the border. No, we ain't got no pecans. No matter putting nothing in here. Got all the way to his destination 3 or 4 hours from the border. Early in the morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, pulling out all the suitcases and found some pecans at the bottom of the... He said, oh, my. I told that man we ain't had no pecans. Now, I know what most of us would have did. We'd have just threw them out. Or we'd act like it never happened. That's most of us. But God's prophet, tired as he was, put his son in the car, turned right back around, drove 3 hours to the border, went back, told the man, I'm sorry, I lied. I had pecans in my car. I didn't realize they were there. Here they are. I'm sorry about that. After he did that, then turned back around 3 hours and went back to where he came from. That challenges our Christianity. That challenges our Christianity. Oh, God, help us. We just can't keep just, pushing over these things. Oh, God, I got to forgive me. God understand. Yeah, he understands that he asked you to come to this spot. That's what he understands. So he wants us to come there, church. Help us, Lord, that, verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Both of them get rain. That's a tricky scripture right there. You got to be careful with that. I was telling y'all in the past that the anointing confused Moses, and the anointing will confuse you. Now, what I mean by that, God told Moses to speak to a rock, but Moses, being an anointed prophet, struck a rock and water came out. Even though he was wrong, he still got water under the anointing. There's people today, certain things will happen in church under the anointing. You'll see certain manifestations, but don't you be fooled by that, because the rain is falling on the just and the unjust. God is calling for people to line up with his words. Amen. Amen. Don't let the anointing trick you. Amen. Anointing is a very special, special thing. We all enjoy feeling that, but don't let that trick you. Amen. Some people cry under the anointing, ain't repented, not one. I mean, not a little bit. But the anointing to fool you. Oh, boy, they was crying under the anointing. They still going out doing the same thing they were doing after they get up from crying. Amen, church. See, be careful. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Now, you know, that's kind of the way it is, right? We can be in a room full of people, that one that we really don't like. We'll talk to everybody else but them. But remember, Jesus said, do good to them that hate you. Right? And they can feel it. People can feel love. We just preached that on Sunday. People can feel whether you love them or not. They can also feel whether you got something against them or not. Your body language just says it all. See? Amen. They said Brother Branham was to the point where you couldn't even tell his enemies from his friends. He treated everybody the same. Lord, I would love to be that way. You know that brother's your enemy, but you'd walk up and just shake his hand and smile like it ain't nothing going wrong. Now, that's the way we got to be. You know that sister just said this about you, but you, God bless you, sister. I just love you so much and really mean it from your heart. Not, I love, you know, that barely touch them and, you know, dodge them. You know how we do. Y'all know how we do these things. We dodge people that we really don't want to be around. And no. I mean, really go into their presence and just, oh, my, I just love you so much. And if I don't love you, I need to. So I'm going to stand right here by you until I learn how to. Amen. Listen what he says. Jesus said it. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. this is what he's calling us to. I had another scripture here. We're not the first ones to be asked to do that. Turn with me to Genesis 17, 1. We're not the first ones to be asked to be perfect. Here in Genesis 17:1 says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So God called Abraham to walk this perfect walk as well. God is calling us to walk a perfect walk. And don't say that you can't do it. You can. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Amen. Let's just kind of read a little bit more from the Statue of a Perfect Man. Brother Branham just brings in a couple other things here. All right. As he's dealing with godliness, perfection, says, let's turn to Ephesians 4 and find out over here what in the book of Ephesians it says about this thing too. About how we should do Ephesians, the fourth chapter, begin the 12th verse. Ephesians 4 begins with the 12th verse. All right, let's begin up here at the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles, some prophets. Remember last night, don't try to take the other man's office. That's what Brother Branham said. Now, why would a prophet warn us of that? Because this happens all the time in church. See? It happens quite often. It says, don't try to take the other man's office. Don't do that. See? It says, remember last night, don't try to take the other man's office. See? And some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting does it read like that? The perfecting of what? Saints. Who are the saints? The sanctified ones. The ones who started from down here. Perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. The ministry of Jesus Christ for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the edifying, building it up, edifying, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into the perfect man, until the assurance, the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Perfect takes godliness. You have to add to your faith godliness. See, you start off down here with virtue, then you go to knowledge, then you go to temperance, then you go to patience, and now you're on godliness. Godliness, oh my, our time's getting away, I see. But you know what godliness meant? You sing the song to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth, I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. That's godliness. When he was smite on one side of his face, he turned the other one. When he was spoken rough to, he didn't speak. Now, y'all remember when Jesus was going through that before Pilate? Sometimes you got to learn how to just not say nothing. See, I mean, Jesus was there, and it was really, don't you know I can do this? No, you can't do nothing unless, you know, we allow you to do that. See, I mean, wouldn't say nothing. Here and there, I mean, whatever, spit on, hit, I mean, everything you can imagine, never said a word. Church, we got some growing up to do in God. We got some growing up to do. When he was spoken to rough, he didn't speak. He didn't rile back. See, godly. Always looking for one thing. I always do that which pleases the Father. Amen. Yes, sir. Always. That's godliness. See, after you've done come down from here to here to here to here to here to here, now you're coming into the full stature now as Son of God. But you've got to have this plus all this, and you can't even start until you get this. Now, you remember the blackbird with peacock feathers. Don't forget him. See, don't try to add it until you're actually born again, because it won't work. You can't make it work. It'll come to this or this here. It'll crumble somewhere. But when you get down here to the genuine born again dove, then you don't add nothing. It adds to you. See, it comes on up. And I like that part right there. When you're truly born again, this adds to you. It's not your works. This adds to you when you're truly born again. Born again, you get a different spirit. Remember, and Ezekiel says, I give you a new heart, a new spirit, and then I put my spirit in the midst of that. See, so what you end up with God's spirit, it's not what happens, unfortunately, Brother Branham taught us this, many of us get a new spirit, But that's just our spirit. That's not his spirit yet. We just got a new spirit. The new spirit is there to help you get along with his spirit when it comes. See, his spirit can't dwell in foolishness. It can't dwell in filth. His spirit can't dwell there. So God got to give you a new heart, give you a new spirit, and then after that, he puts his spirit in the midst of that. Amen. Don't just stop at a new spirit or just feeling good about going to church. Come on, somebody. Don't stop right there. But the Lord, change my heart, change my spirit, and then fill me with your spirit. Amen. I don't want to just be touched. I want to be filled. Amen. And if you've been filled, ask God for a refilling. Amen. We need it, church. We need the refilling of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Let's catch a couple other. Want to catch something else here? I'll read this. We're going to go to the quote from Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. If you would start me at paragraph 77 there on that, and if also let's turn to another passage of scripture here in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's just turn. I just want to read verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 6. We're called to be like God. Godliness. Perfection. This is what he's called us to. And look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 out of the Bible. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So Paul is telling us, let's leave the principles. I mean, he says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, just the basic things surrounding, you know, our faith. Let's leave that and let's go on to perfection. Let's move and let's start going towards perfection. This is what God has called us to. Amen. See, I mean, there's many people that's going to believe that Jesus died and rose again. Many people are going to speak in tongues and lay hands and somebody get healed. That, you know, I come to realize that you just a lot of churches have those type of manifestations. You just can't go, well, at our church, we got. A lot of other churches just tell you they got the same exact thing. But when we talk about moving on towards perfection, to the stature of a perfect man, that's a different story. See? Amen. God is calling us to that type of lifestyle. We got to be willing to start walking in this direction. Let's leave some of those basic principles. Now let's move towards perfection. Let's go on unto perfection. Amen, church. See, I mean, that's the one thing about this word. It challenges us. You know, this message, it challenges us. It shakes us. We can't get away with anything here. See, and most denominational churches, you can live just about any kind of life you want to live, and people put you right on up there. Remember what I told you? People get fooled or tricked by the anointing. Well, they still anointed, but they ain't living nothing. See, that you can have the anointing. The gifts and callings come without repentance. You don't even have to repent to have a gift. You don't have to repent. Amen. See? So that's not what we're looking for. Amen. An unrepentant gift. Amen. We want the real thing. Amen. One that's surrendered to God. Not just the gift, but the whole life is surrendered to God. Amen. Amen. You can trust that. Amen. One of the biggest things one of the biggest problems the church can go through is somebody with a big gift up here doing something different outside the pulpit. That's a big hindrance. Huge hindrance. Somebody up here singing but living something else outside after they finish singing. Somebody playing and living something else after they... That's a big hindrance. Big, huge hindrance. And even somebody sitting here saying amen and then living somewhere. That's a big hindrance. Amen. You're the first one people point at and say, see, they got fakes in their church. The one that's the hypocritical life, that's the one that brings shame on the gospel. Look, when you're going to go with this, go all the way with it. Amen. God said, I have no other gods before me. He's a jealous God. So give God everything. Look, Lord, I'm sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. No turning back. Amen. That's the way you got to be. That's the way it used to be anyway. You know. Amen. No halfway Christian lives. They had a song they used to sing in our day, 99 and a half won't do. God want 100%. Amen. All right. Let's go on back here. Oh, my. Okay. Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, this quote here. And start me off at paragraph 77. Brother Branham makes this statement as he's quoting the scripture, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." That was Jesus' commandment, "Be ye so." They say nobody can be perfect. The Bible said there is none perfect. There's your contradiction. Is it? All right. You cannot be perfect in yourself. If you're trusting in what you've done, you're lost. So be ye perfect, even just as perfect as God is perfect. Now, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. See? So it says, therefore now, the fifth chapter, sixth chapter of Hebrews, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, you Branham Tabernacle, I know we have healings. That's wonderful. We have visions. Oh, that's fine. And you have spiritual dreams, and sometimes they're not spiritual dreams. All right. Oh, my. I tell you, that'll preach right there. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. That's why you got to have judges in the church. Somebody can judge. Well, no, brother, that don't line up on the word right there. And take it through the judge. Not always try to bring it to the pastor. And the judge need to be two or three. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. A lot of times, no, just go straight to the pastor. We want to see these gifts operate in the church. Because somebody got to have that spirit of being able to kind of judge and not critical. See, because sometimes you get a spirit like, well, God ain't show it to me. I'm not going to agree with nothing. That's not the way the body works. See? Amen. I mean, you know, the body has to work has to work in conjunction with each other. The feet got to work with the hands. The feet can't be the hands. See? They're not designed to grab things, but they are designed to hold up the body. Oh, my. All right. And everybody can't be a mouth. Some got to be ears. And let me tell you something about the body, the way it's designed. God gave the body two ears and one mouth. Why do you think God did that? Because listening is better than talking. You have spiritual dreams, and sometimes they're not spiritual dreams, and sometimes we try to help the poor. We do what we can. Oh, that's all right, but that's not what we're talking about now. We're entering into another phase. Leaving the doctrine. Oh, yes, we got the doctrine of Christ. We believe that he was the Son of God, is virgin born. We believe that with all these things. That is just wonderful. But leaving that, let's go into perfection. Oh, my. Wish I had the voice of an archangel now to bring this to a place where we could see it. Now I'm going to skip down to another quote here. This is coming out of Hebrews chapter 6, part 2. And I'm at paragraph 244. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, part 2. Brother Branham goes on as we, again, talking godliness. Godliness is connected to perfection. Amen. Now leaving, says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. I like Paul saying those things. Paul never was a person that liked to stay too long in one place. He liked to move on deeper. One time in the scripture he said, forgetting those things which are in the past, I press towards the mark of the high calling. See, he keeps pressing on. Here he said, now forgetting the principles of the doctrine of Christ, who he was, what he was, let's go on to perfection. Now, we want to find out, could we be perfect? And we found out in the scripture this morning, Matthew 5:48 actually, says that Jesus said that we had to be just as perfect as God was or we wouldn't go in. Then we found out that we was everyone born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come into the world speaking lies, and there was not one sound thing about us, so how could we ever be perfected? Now, here's what we found out then over reading, taking scripture with scripture. that Jesus, by one sacrifice, perfected forever his church. We are then perfect through Christ, and we are free from judgment through Christ. We shall never die through Christ. We have lost death and found life through Christ, not through any church, not through any denomination, not through any fantastic, not through speaking with tongues, not through shouting, not through shaking, not through dancing in the spirit, but by grace. This is all done through Christ, not anything that you've done, no goodness of your own. It's all what he's done for us. Let's read that over in Hebrews chapter 10. I'll just start at verse 12, but this is a very, very good scripture. Amen. To go back and read the whole chapter is very, very good. Oh, glory. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." See, what Christ did at the cross, that's what brings us to perfection. Church, one of these days we're going to get a real revelation of what Jesus did for us at the cross. It's not going to just be a story, a sound good story, but it's going to be a true revelation in our heart as to what really happened. And without this, we could not be perfect. You know what? Without Christ dying, we couldn't be healed. Without Christ dying, we couldn't be saved. Without Christ dying, we couldn't be redeemed. Without Christ dying, it's no use to us even being here. Not only that, I mean, you know, they say without, you know, if there be no resurrection. So the scripture tells us that, you know, we're without hope. So without him dying and raising again, it's just a hopeless situation. But because of that, we can stand perfect before God. Because you know what? He don't look at us. He's looking at him. We got our sin is red before him. But through the red blood that Christ shed and our scarlet sins, red through red becomes white. See? And God all God sees just us as pure, perfect, sinless, spotless, you know, beings on earth because we're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what brings us to a place of perfection. When you get a true revelation of that, you won't live a life that is contrary. I'm not talking about what your pastor did for you. I'm not talking about what your parents did for you. I'm not talking about what Brother Branham did for you. I'm talking about what Jesus did for you. When you really come to understand what Jesus did, church, it really takes us to another level. God help us to really get a glimpse of it. Amen. We got to see Calvary. We got to see Calvary. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. All right. I got a little bit more that I want to read here. Let's go to the next quote here, Hebrews chapter 6, part 3. And then I got one more quote after that we'll read from the Waters of Separation, and we'll bring it home tonight. This perfection is all in Christ. It's all in Christ. Yeah. While you're pulling up Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 6, verse 3, I'd like to just read a little bit more out of the Bible here. Also in Hebrews 10. Notice this, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." That's verse 14. Verse 15 says, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts," not only that, "and in their minds will I write them." I mean, see, this is what, You know, Holy Ghost come, it's, you know, if you got the laws of God in your heart and in your mind because the Holy Ghost has brought it there, again, it's going to make us all act the same way. Brother Branham said, you know, he go to a foreign land and he watched people receive the Holy Ghost and they act the same way the people over here act. See, that's what happened in the book of Acts. When the Jews were in the upper room, received the Holy Ghost, then in Cornelius' house, some Gentiles received the Holy Ghost. Peter saw them acting the same exact way, Jews and Gentiles, because the Holy Ghost can produce the same result in everybody. Amen. Every time and everybody, the Holy Ghost is going to produce the same results, not anything different. Look, says verse 17, and their sins and iniquities. I need this. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I need God to forget about it. I need God to do that. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. I like that. Let us draw near with a true heart, a sincere heart. Don't come to God with games. Amen. God know if you just kind of partway doing this. But come to God with a true heart, with a sincere heart. God, I mean this. I'm serious about my commitment. Amen. You know, even if you were in a relationship with somebody, you don't want it to be a one-sided relationship. Here you giving everything you got. This person ain't giving nothing. God don't want it to be that way with us. Here God giving us everything we got, but what are we giving him? Amen. Come with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And I like this. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brother Randall said that scripture means go to church. That's all it means, go to church. We should go to church more as we see the day of Jesus' return coming. It seemed like it's getting closer and closer. We ought to be in church as much as we possibly can. Amen. We're going to need the word of God this hour to sustain us and keep us. Look at the verse 26. But if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sin for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I'm going to leave it there. I just want to point out something. Verse 26 says, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice of sins. I brought this out to the Sunday school class. It didn't say receive the truth. It said receive knowledge of the truth. God will judge you for just having knowledge of the truth and not walking in it. Oh. I hate to say it like that, but when you come to a church where they're preaching all the word, you have a lot of responsibility on your shoulder. Because see, where much is given, much is required. See, and if you choose just to walk in part of when God done gave you fullness, and you choose just to walk in part, God gonna judge you for that. See, and all you had to do is just receive knowledge of it. Maybe somebody showed it to you in scripture, but you rejected that part of the word of God. You can't reject no part of this. You got to eat it all. Amen. The part that don't feel good, you still got to eat that. And you got to take it, Lord, help me, Lord. Look, we can't add or take away from this word. Because if we do that, it's going to be trouble at the end. Amen. We got to stay with what God's word say. Not what man's saying, but what does God say? Not nobody talking. Well, I don't think. How you know? You ever been to judgment before? How you going to tell me what you think? So you done been before God's presence, and he say you can get away with that. Huh? If you ain't had that experience, don't come what you think. I'm going to go with what God's word say. Amen. Amen. That's what he going to judge us on. Not people's thoughts, but what he said. Right. Amen. If we got knowledge of the truth, God going to hold us responsible for it. All right. Let me, I'm going to just go on. The last quote, water separation. Give me that, because this is a rather long quote, and I'll just bring it to a close with this. The water of separation. Look at what he says here. It says, now God telling Moses and Aaron. See, was the prophet and priest. Moses the prophet, Aaron the priest. Said, now I want you to go out and get a heifer, a young heifer, which is all one color, one complete color, red. Red, we always think, looks, the red is danger. Red does signify danger or a life or so forth, but red in Scripture signifies redemption through the blood. Harlot Rahab, when she put the scarlet streak down, and all through the Bible is a scarlet streak, redemption comes through red, through the shedding of the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And how that God said, go get this heifer that's red all over, not one spot of anything else, but perfectly red. For God looked through red, and you know what color red is? Looking through red? Red through red makes white. Try it one time. Red through red produces white. So when God looks through the blood of Jesus Christ, to we who are scarlet red with sin and covered by the blood, he sees us white as snow. Though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be white like snow. God looking through the blood, he doesn't see you no more as a sinner. He sees you redeemed. You're redeemed because he always sees you through Christ. That's the reason we can be perfect. See, you're redeemed because he always sees you through Christ. That's the reason we can be perfect. Not perfect in the sense of sinless. We're perfect in the eyes of God when we're in Christ. That's the reason he said, be there perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's all because we're in Christ, church. Not in our own goodness. Amen. We could never do anything good enough to deserve it. But because we're in Christ, that's why we can be deemed as perfect. Paul, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, trying to explain the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of things could ever make the comer unto perfect, because God was looking through animal blood. But now he looks through the blood of his Son. Perfection comes by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not perfect in your sight. You may not be perfect in my sight. But what about in God's sight? There's where it lays. And if you're born again into the body of Christ, then God looks upon you as perfect as Christ was himself. Amen. Nothing you can do. It's not by any works you can do at all. It's by grace God has given you this offer. And if you've accepted it in the sight of God, you are perfect, redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, without fault, without blemish, without spot. Isn't that marvelous? I used to oftentimes wonder, what's the matter with the Christian church? They're so scared of things. Why? You've got nothing to be scared about. The first word nearly Jesus said after the resurrection, fear not. See, don't fear. Don't get scared. There ain't nothing going to happen. Nothing can happen. Nothing can bother a Christian. That's a powerful statement. Nothing can bother a Christian. Amen. What? Nothing. My God, I want that to be me. Nothing bothers me. You know, this just happened. God let it happen. You know, this just happened. Yeah, y'all know that just happened. That happened to somebody in Scripture, y'all know, right? Job. Right, Job, this just happened. Okay. Job, you know, this happened. Job. By the time they finished, Job bowed his knees, got on his knees, bowed his face to the ground, just began to worship God. In the midst of all that, his whole world just been turned upside down. This man is worshiping. Can we as Christians do that? Our whole world, they just call about this. They call about that. This, you can't get to it all. So just begin to worship God in the midst of whatever you're going through. You can't take care of it all. You can't fix it. Right? There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, there's not one thing. Nothing I can do about it. I might as well just start praising God right here. Just let God take care of it. Amen. My, nothing can bother a Christian. Amen. Not even death itself can even touch the Christian. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen. Death itself has no reign over a Christian. Christ died in our stead. Amen. What a marvelous, what a faith that ought to build up in the people, something that'll toe the mark. You'll never get nothing by being a little jellyfish Christian. No, sir. Did you ever see a jellyfish? You just hit him, he splatters all over everything. See a jellyfish. You know what usually eats them? The crabs and things along the side of the seashore comes up with his pincher and cuts them in two and takes them down. Because the jellyfish just lays there. See, that's the thing. Notice he just lays there. That's why he ends up in this condition. But the Bible says if we just resist the devil, he'll flee. Most of us don't put up no fight. See, we don't put up any fight. Oh, no, no, Satan. No, no, yeah, Satan. I said no, yeah, but afterwards you said yes. You know, we don't put up a fight. We have to put up some type of resistance. Satan's job is to keep coming over and over, but put up some type of resistance. Amen. At least quote one scripture. And if you can't remember one, take the time to go get your Bible and find one. Find one that actually fits to your situation. Stay there till you find one. Well, I looked in the Bible. What part did you read? I don't even remember. That's why you didn't win the battle. Least fight. Don't be like a jellyfish. All right? Brother, we need some Christians. Not jellyfish, but with a backbone. That's right, that'll stand. Oh, I don't mean to fuss with people, but stand for your God-given rights that Christ died for. Certainly, not pushed around. We don't have to be. No, sir. We got an inheritance. Amen. And our inheritance belongs to us. It's your privilege to have anything that you inherited. Through accepting Jesus Christ and dying to yourself, how marvelous, yes, sir, Satan said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. No, you ain't going to do nothing. That's the way to talk back to him. Say, I know my position in Christ, and you just might as well get away. I ain't listening to you no more. I got an inheritance. Praise the Lord. As, you know, none of us, you know, somebody told me the other day, you might be a dollar-naire, but not a millionaire. You know, you got a lot of dollars, but not millions, you know. And I said, well, I'll take that anyway. But I can tell you, if somebody left me an inheritance of millions of dollars, ain't nobody going to stop me from getting to it. Nobody. I don't care who they are. They wouldn't stop me from getting that, you know. And if I feel that way about something natural, why can't I feel the same way about a spiritual inheritance? If healing is my inheritance, don't let the devil stop you from getting your healing. Amen. Deliverance is your inheritance. Don't let the devil stop you from getting your deliverance. Whatever your inheritance is in Christ, don't let the devil stop you from getting it. Amen. Fight for your inheritance. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, your prophet has brought to us. Lord, be perfect as you're perfect. That's what you said in the scripture as he broke it down. It's not being perfect within our own selves. It's because of the sacrifice that was made at Calvary, the blood that was shed. Lord, the life that was raised up on the third day. That's why we can stand before you perfect. If we can realize what that what the blood of Jesus has done for us. And God, we'll walk victorious, be more than conquerors in everything that we face. We add to our faith virtue to virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience. We're to add godliness. We're to be like God. The Holy Spirit in us is to bring us to this position. And God, we're determined to make it by your grace. Help us, Lord. The areas where we're falling short, help us, God. Continue to show us those areas in our lives so we can, Father, we can just hone and make it better. We just thank you that you would take the time to speak to us, to show us what you're calling us to break it down so that we'd understand. We're grateful tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.